Welcome to episode 2 of the You Matter podcast series with the Noonday Collection. I'm Whitney Ray, and I will be your guide on today's episode as we explore the ways you matter. We'll be talking to Tamara Akilu as she shares about mentorship and how it's impacted artists and partners in Rwanda. We'll also be talking to several ambassadors as they share the ways coaching and mentorship have affected them. Today, we want you to walk away knowing that you are part of a shared experience with other ambassadors and artisans around the world, and that who you are today matters. It matters to others, and you have something to offer. So I can't wait to share that content in just a moment. First, as a reminder, the You Matter podcast was created to communicate to ambassadors how you matter, and we want to connect you with the stories of impact happening because of you. Without ambassadors, Noonday would not exist. We want you to hear directly from ambassadors, from home office staff, from our artists and partners, and we want to really understand, why do ambassadors Noonday? Why do you do what you do, and how does that tie into what matters? And maybe you've noticed, but we've hashtagged You Matter. We did that because we want this to be the start of a conversation. Thank you to every ambassador who shared on Noonday's Ambassador Facebook wall after listening to Series 1. I was brought to tears by many of your posts and was so touched by your transparency, your passion, and by your vision for your business. Sherry is one of those comments that stood out to me. She said, "I loved listening to the You Matter podcast. I felt like the thought of You Matter has been something that in the last year, I've been able to start taking hold of more and more, largely in part to Noonday and our Shine conference. I have felt set free from things that were holding me back before, and man, does it feel good." Sherry, thank you for taking the time to share that. I am so glad that that is the freedom you are experiencing. And I know that many other ambassadors commented on your post and shared similar thoughts. So thank you, everybody. And then Angela, she said, "I just listened to the You Matter podcast, brought to tears. Whether it's selling one piece or 100, every ounce of it matters. And even in a dry spell, to keep telling the stories matters. We have to keep on keeping on for the artisans." That's right, Angela. I am so glad you walked away with that message, and that is so true. Be sure and check out all the comments by searching the hashtag YouMatter on the Facebook wall. There are many deeply touching and personal posts, and I know they will all encourage you. And because we know your time matters, I want to be sure you're aware of what you should be doing now to get ready for the fall launch. What you should be doing right now is booking trunk shows for the launch. And it just got a little bit easier for you. If you saw the big announcement, Noonday and Jen Hatmaker are joining forces. Jen's book, For the Love, which doesn't officially launch until August 18th, will be available exclusively to Noonday hostesses who host during the first week of the fall launch. That means that those hostesses in the Noonday community are going to be the very first to get her book, and they're going to be getting it for free. And even better, Noonday has designed an exclusive bracelet for Jen's book. It's a beautiful leather wrap bracelet handmade by our artists and partners in Haiti, and every hostess will receive this for free as well. These bracelets are going to be available to customers for purchase, and with the purchase of every bracelet, $5 will be donated to Help One Now, an organization committed to empowering local leaders who care for orphans and vulnerable children in Haiti and beyond. So be sure and read the Bloomfire post. There's some really important requirements and deadlines to be sure you get the books and bracelets in time to share with your hostesses. At the beginning of June, Noonday launched a coaching training series for all ambassadors. Jessica Honegger and Sarah Britton, the first Noonday ambassador, created a video explaining their coaching relationship that they shared from day one. Coaching in Noonday is not anything new, and in fact, coaching isn't anything new for any of us. We all can look back and see someone who's developed us and encouraged us and supported us, whether it's a parent, a teacher, a sports coach, or maybe even now, a fellow Noonday ambassador. We see that this role is something that we need currently. It's something that can really bring value for a lifetime. Now, if I'm being honest, there have been times that I have had personal feelings or thoughts that come up that say, "You know, Whitney, I don't know if you have anything of value to give. You're just not enough. And then other times I've had the thought, well, is the pie big enough? Is there a big enough market for me to share with others? What I found is that these thoughts and these feelings that I've had are not unique. And so in a moment, I want you to hear directly from several ambassadors as they work through similar thoughts. But first, Tamara Akilu, Noonday's manager of production and sourcing for Latin America and Africa, is going to share with us how mentorship and the coaching role is a shared experience across cultures, and that the rewards and the challenges are the same no matter our location.
Well, when I think about mentoring and coaching, I think about how artisans all over the world really mentor and coach each other naturally every day. And in fact, it's more natural in most cultures around the world than it is here in the States, because most people have less formal training. Often they haven't been to formal school, but they've learned skills and trades from their mother or father at a young age, and even from their friends, their sister or brother. In some cases, some of our partner artisans actually learned their skills from their father-in-laws when they met their wives, which is kind of cool in Fermin's case. In many of the workshops that we work with, we've either worked with businesses that have specifically trained women and men in their skills, but even in those cases, it's really natural for men and women, especially women, to sit next to each other and teach each other their skill even as they go. For more skilled people to sit next to a less skilled person, and they teach each other new knots, new techniques, better ways to do things. Just by watching and through friendship, through just a relational way of working together, they sometimes do parts for each other. If one doesn't know how to do a certain part, their partner will do that other part for them. And sometimes they cover for each other. Sometimes when there's a weaker member, other people will do their work for them and give them credit for it. So this is taking place in workshops all over the world really naturally. But then I think about how there's often also a struggle or a resistance to teaching, coaching, and mentoring people outside of their circle, outside of their maybe women's co-op or workshop. And this is coming from just a feeling of there's a certain amount of work, and if there are more people that we share the work with, then we'll all have a little bit less work. So one of the places I think of this sort of struggle happening in the hearts and minds of artisans is in Rwanda. The women's co-op there that many of you are familiar with because of the blog trip last year, ambassador trip, they are all women, and they work together, and they started this business together. So last year when we asked them to bring in a couple of new women from IJM as part of the IJM partnership, this was a real struggle for them. It was a real heart check because many of them wanted their sisters or their friends or their sister-in-law to be able to have this work. And we're asking them to bring in strangers into their circle and to teach them and treat them as a sister or sister-in-law or best friend. That was really hard for them. I was there during one kind of training trip, and one of the things that I did with them was drama, sociodrama, we call it. And so sociodrama is basically a way of dramatizing and doing skits to get people thinking and talking about issues that are a little bit harder to talk about in a way that's indirect. It's a little bit less formal, and you're not necessarily talking about yourself, but you're acting out situations. So what would happen if, or putting yourself in the shoes of another person, so acting out what if you were these IJM ladies, things like that. So we did dramas. We also talked about some scripture, parables that sort of apply, and they got a chance to think through those things. And eventually they began to open their hearts and minds to bringing in new women and even women that weren't their closest friends. And that took a lot of courage. It took a lot of generosity on their part because they didn't know what was going to happen, if there would be enough work, and if the work would grow when they did that. So they did that, and they actually have done a really great job of allowing those women to be part of their group and mentoring them, teaching them basic sewing skills, but also the particular designs, and really having grace with them, covering for them when they needed to. And then at another time, the same co-op needed to add a couple of women because of pregnancy or illness or just life. They dropped down a couple of seamstresses. And then again, they started to discuss heatedly whose friends, whose sister-in-law was going to get this position. And again, it was really hard because they all wanted their loved one to have that sort of coveted position. And so I was there at that time, and again, we did some discussions and dramas, and we kind of brainstormed a list of kind of basic standards that we would want to have, that we could agree on, that all the women could really agree on, you would need to have to be part of this group. So it's okay to have standards and to have an idea of what you're looking for, and that whoever wanted to bring a friend or sister had to kind of teach and train them on the side, and that they would have to have those sewing skills already, certain skills that we listed out, and they would have to just kind of audition for it and test out their skills, and the other one would get to approve the ones that they thought would be good partners in their co-op. So that's what they ended up doing, and then when they took on more women, they began to, again, teach and mentor and train them in their natural sisterly way. And they've actually done a really wonderful job of that over time. Now they're actually up to 17. They just recently added 4 more. So that's been really cool to see the transition and the transformation of those women's hearts as they opened up themselves to including others in their circle. And I think that there's some feeling in all women around the world, I sometimes even feel this, of resistance to wanting to share what I have. It could just be a sense of there's only so much work. There's this finite pie that will be split many ways. And this is even stronger in the developing world. But I've just really come to learn that there's not a finite pie. This world's wealth and opportunity and even power is not finite, but that it's a multiplier. When you add a new person, you're actually increasing the pie, you're multiplying the pie, you're bringing more capacity. So what I teach these groups that I work with is that when you add more people, you're adding more capacity to your group. Basically, your team, your group has more ability to do more. You can produce more products, and that's very attractive to buyers. That means that you are able to produce much more, and you can handle larger orders. So when I think about businesses that share the orders, that are always in the mode of teaching and training and bringing on new people, always ready to grow, those are the kinds of businesses that I want to give more orders to. And there are a few businesses that we partner with who are much more resistant to that and do not want to see another workshop spring up in their country or their town or doing their particular material. And those are the ones that we struggle with giving them orders, because can we trust them? If they run out of time at the end, are they going to share and like outsource that to another group? Are they going to train up some more people, or are they going to afford that and end up being late in the end? So those things are really important as we even think about buying. And so coaching, mentoring, and training each other is just really a key part of pretty much everything that we do in Noonday, both here in Elkis and around the world. So I just want to encourage you as ambassadors to think about your sisters around the world and how they also struggle with feeling that there's not enough, feelings of scarcity. If you have those feelings every once in a while that creep up, think about your sisters and just their courage to share, to just open up their hearts, that if they can do it, certainly we can do it also, and that it's just really a common feeling, that we all have the same feelings as women and as people around the world. There's not much difference. All of these cultural differences are really, really shallow when you think about our common experiences. So I just hope that the Mucho women and all the women and men that we work with could be an inspiration for us to be able to really open up our hearts in this area and have courage when we have those feelings.
Thank you, Tamara, for sitting down earlier this week to record that. I know, like I shared before, that I've had times of feeling that resistance to share what I have, the feeling that there just isn't enough. And the connection of knowing that my sisters and brothers around the world have felt the same, but that they have found that this is not true. That as they've been brave and generous, they've seen demand grow, opportunity grow, and they have flourished. One of my favorite things that you shared, Tamara, was all of these cultural differences are really shallow when we think about our common experiences. So, ambassadors, it's our courage, it's their courage. That's what really matters. I want to introduce you to Megan and Lisa. Megan is a Noonday coach who was at first reluctant to embrace her role. She was uncertain about the model and questioned if she really had anything of worth to offer. So Megan and Lisa and I, we got to sit down earlier this week and record this conversation between the two of them as they share what their coaching relationship looks like today.
Hey, I'm Megan, and I am a Noonday coach and an ambassador for a couple of years now. Lisa actually had attended one of my first trunk shows 2 years ago. And at the time, we kind of chatted, and she felt a calling to Noonday. She just didn't know exactly what that meant and looked like for her at the time. But she is the daughter of one of my mom's best friends, and she's also my sister's friend from the church youth group that we grew up in. So I've always known Lisa, but I've never really knew her. And then about 16 months after that church show, Lisa decided to join Noonday as an ambassador.
And hi, I'm Lisa. I am now a ambassador for Noonday as well, and Megan is my coach. I feel like our friendship and coaching relationship is very easy and comfortable. I know I can always ask Megan's opinion on really anything, even if it's non-Noonday specific topics. And she's always super receptive and very open with me. It's a very honest relationship as well, and I know I can come to her with my frustrations and my disappointments, and she always validates how I'm feeling, and she gives me suggestions and encouragement, whatever it is that I'm kind of going through at the time. As far as our kind of relationship, our coaching relationship, I find that what works for, at least on my part, is I like to text her before I ask her questions, just to see if she's open to answering it at that time or if she's busy, because I don't ever want to take advantage of her and her personal time. She's got like the kids running around, so I never want to just assume that I can just kind of jump in the mix and have her answer my Noonday questions. I respect Megan a lot, and I just don't ever want to assume that she isn't busy. Another thing that I feel that she does as a coach that works really well for me and our team is that she checks in with her team, a couple other girls, and she checks and sees how we're doing with our goals, what our hopes are for the month. She'll tell us her goals as well, and she kind of encourages us to be specific about dollars and, you know, how many people and how many shows. And when she tells us her goals as well, it kind of makes us feel like we're all a team together. She pushes us to reach for more, but at the same time, she makes us feel proud of where we're at. I feel like I've learned a lot through Megan and having her as my coach. I know I have a really hard time asking for help just in general, and I seem to always struggle with feeling like I'm failing at things in life. And through this experience, Megan has really taught me that it's okay to ask for prayer and it's okay to be vulnerable and it's okay to ask for help when I need it. She helps me feel that a slow show doesn't mean that I've failed, and always push on to what's ahead. She helps me realize that we're in this together and we're on the same journey in many different ways. To me, Megan personifies kind of what New Day is all about. People just loving each other and working together, and it's all for the greater good. No one is above anywhere else, and we're all just one big team hoping for change. And I sincerely feel very, very lucky to have Megan in my life.
I feel really lucky to have Lisa and my other teammates in my life as well. I've learned a lot, so, so much from coaching Lisa. I really was surprised to learn how much I knew already when they're texting and asking questions, that I had, you know, over the years gleaned a lot of information from more seasoned ambassadors than myself. And then I also learned about how much I still needed to know and where I needed to grow. We all have room for growth, and being a coach has really placed me in a position where I can gently guide ambassadors like Lisa, yet I can still glean from their knowledge and their individual experiences. And their questions have really helped broaden my views and examine what I would have done if I were placed in their shoes and in a similar situation. The relationship that I have with Lisa and my teammates is really special. I truly see them as sisters in this journey. For my local teammates, we'll meet for coffee and we share samples. Me being in Nebraska and Lisa in Texas, we're quite far from one another, so our relationship is really based on a lot of texting and email and phone calls, but we pray for one another. And then when I was in Austin with my family this summer, we got to get together, and I think that really helped us connect on a new level. And I just truly, really value her input, her friendship, and I'm thankful to my teammates for allowing me alongside them as they begin their businesses, because that is a huge trust that they place in me, and I just really honor and respect them for taking that leap. I see the coaching opportunity now as a chance to offer guidance and support that was not always readily available to me when I became an ambassador 2 years ago. I always think of, like, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do to you, or even Gary Hoggins' quote about justice, doing for others what you would have done for yourself. And not that we suffered injustices as pioneering ambassadors, but the company was so young, and it still is, but we were at the time learning how to best serve one another in different capacities. The growth and changes that New Day has seen in the last 6 months, and even in the year, this last year alone, are really amazing. And it's my joy to pass along my experiences to my team members now. My sincere hope is that I can leave Lisa and my other teammates after each of our interactions knowing that they truly matter to me.
Thanks, Megan and Lisa. I loved hearing how Megan really grew into her role of coach, that as she began, she realized she had more to offer than she thought at first. And I loved hearing how she learned so much from Lisa and from those on her team as well, that she wasn't in this huge place of leadership where she had to know everything, but she did know more than she thought, and she was able to learn along with her team as she went. And the fact that she really wanted to leave every person in her community with the knowledge that they matter. That is something that is a gift, and it's something that each one of us is capable of giving. So, do you know that who you are today matters? Do you know that your participation in the ambassador community, whether it's as a coach or as an ambassador, all of it matters? So, I want you to hear from Mary. She's a new ambassador from Texas who fell in love with the New Day business model and style, and she's embracing her role as an ambassador.
I was so excited to do the coaching training program, but just at this time, I felt like it wasn't a good match. I'd love to, you know, consider it again later. I right now have twin
almost two-year-old boys. So I feel like I'm doing lots of coaching and training and discipling every minute of the day. And my husband and I also are involved with our church, and we do some mentoring of newly married and engaged couples. So I'm passionate about coaching. I think it's so important, but just don't feel like I have the margin to do that well with Noonday, because I already have, you know, my boys and some other commitments. But I am looking forward to hopefully jumping in on that when they get a little bit older. I think my favorite part of Noonday is just realizing that every purchase I make makes a difference, and it does matter where I shop, and it does matter where I choose to steward my resources. And I love the picture of just, you know, it feels like you're holding hands across the globe, just bringing what those artisans work to your friends right there in, you know, your living room or in that hostess's room, and just make bringing what they've done in their community to your community, and just knowing that each purchase matters.
Thank you, Mary. Yes, every purchase does matter. Maybe after hearing from our ambassadors, you're thinking, you know what? I'm like Megan. I don't think I have very much to offer, but I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to share what I have. And I really want to inspire those around me to know that they matter. If that's you and you're embracing the role of a coach, we're behind you, cheering you on. Or maybe you're like Mary and the time is just not right for you, and it's better for you to focus in and become the best ambassador you can be. If that is your role, we are behind you, cheering you on. The main thing is to be part of this story. Be active, use who you are, and develop it fully. Go out there, book those trunk shows, and share the amazing fall line. And share the stories of the artisans who made it with as many people as you can. Their stories matter. Now, take a moment, share your takeaways from today's episode over on Noonday's Ambassador Facebook wall using the hashtag YouMatter. Let's keep the conversation going until next time. As you interact, we're going to drive content and hopefully share your voice on a podcast soon. Thanks for listening in, and we'll talk again soon.